Good morning and welcome again. Thank you for being with me this Sunday as we go through these particular texts that are interlocking. Last week's and this week's texts are continuations of one another. In last week's text, of course, Jesus very much reads the announcement that the Messiah is going to come, set the captives free, and basically put all that is wrong right in the world. In today's reading, Jesus goes on to say, and I'm that guy. I'm the Messiah that you've been waiting for. And it is really easy for us, reading the text now, 2,000 years later, knowing everything that we know about Jesus' ministry, Jesus' resurrection, crucifixion, it's very easy for us to look at the people in his hometown there in Nazareth and say, well, those awful, selfish, evil people. I want you to hear this from a different point of view. Imagine you're a business owner, and you have honed and crafted your business to be the finest business it can be. And it's not just any business, it's a business that benefits everyone. You've created a high-quality product that everybody can benefit from, and the way you've managed to make it is such that everybody's getting great value for your money, and the product you have created is an extended car warranty. You have created the best extended car warranty anyone's ever seen. It's better than what you got when your car was brand new. It's cheaper than paying for any form of repair. Everybody should want your extended warranty. Now, imagine everyone's reaction, given what we know about life today, every time you try to sell somebody your extended car warranty. You call them up on the phone, and you say, hey, I've got this great product I'd like to sell you. It's an extended warranty on your car. Chances are you're going to be greeted with hostility and open aggression. Why? Well, people don't like that. People don't like the car extended warranty scam that we've all been subjected to now for years and years and years. They call you on the phone, they send you letters in the mail, they send you emails, they advertise, they text you. It's just everywhere. Scam artists trying to sell you absolutely worthless extended car warranties. Now imagine you're that one guy. You're that one person who went into this industry and said, I'm going to make the best extended car warranty there ever was, and I'm going to save people tons of money. You would be universally hated, even though there's nothing wrong with your product, because everybody that's gone before you has soured the experience. Everyone who's gone before you has been a crook. Everyone who's gone before you has been trying to cheat people out of their money. The fact that you're the real deal is going to require a whole lot of sales. Well, in Nazareth, where Jesus is raised, it is not unusual for people to pop up and say, hey, I'm the Messiah, everybody, I'm here to fulfill the prophecy that you found in the Old Testament. In fact, there are multiple people in Jesus' day claiming to be the Messiah. Well, the people of Nazareth are decidedly over it. They don't want people making false claims anymore. They're tired of people selling them false messiahs. And so, Jesus says, you've heard what I've read from this book of the prophecies. I am the prophet's prophecy. I am the Messiah. Come to save you. And the people of Nazareth basically looked at him and said, prove it. Jesus, for his part, he understands exactly that he's not going to get anywhere with these people. Because they knew him. They know him. They think they know him. Because they knew him when he was young. They knew him as a child. They knew him growing up. They probably saw him fall down and skin his knee. And they probably saw him on his best days, on his worst days, when he was sleepy, when he was hungry. They probably saw Jesus as all human beings are in our best and worst days. And so they look at Jesus and go, okay, look, buddy, people have tried to sell us on this before. We understand that you really wowed them in Capernaum, that you are some sort of miracle worker. What do you got? Jesus shrugs his shoulders and says, look, I'm not going to do that. I'm not here just to make the people of Israel happy. I'm not here just to impress my hometown friends. In fact, Jesus says, I'm not here to impress anybody. I've come with the real deal, the real message, the real hope, the real thing that is going to bring and keep alive the people of Israel. And I'm not going to prove it to you. Because he realizes that anything that he does at this point, well, if he provides them with the show they want, they're going to expect him to be their Messiah. But Jesus' messiahship, he says, it's here for more than just the people of Israel. He uses two examples from the Old Testament of God's mighty prophets who, instead of serving the needs of the people of Israel, went out and served the Gentiles. He makes it very clear that his ministry is way broader than the little town of Nazareth and way bigger than Israel and its problems with false messiahs. His scope is going to be the salvation of the world. Combined with the fact that they have been lied to over and over again by charlatans that have come in the past, and the fact that Jesus doesn't seem willing to play the game according to their rules, they get very angry with him. And they take him out and they're going to throw him off a cliff. And it says, Jesus just passed through the crowd and walked away. I have to imagine this is a miraculous action unto itself, which is kind of ironic if you think about the fact that they asked him for a miracle. One way or another, you can imagine how confused they were when they all got to the cliff and everybody looked at each other and said, I thought you had Jesus. I thought you did. They were furious. They were an angry mob. They had pitchforks and torches. Jesus knew that the people of his hometown and probably the people of all of Israel weren't going to be content with the message he brought. Was he going to perform miracles? Yes, but he was going to perform it for all the wrong people. He doesn't do miracles for the rich or for the powerful or for the priests or for the sages. He does it for the beggars. He does it for the foreigners. He does it for the ordinary people. He does it for hungry crowds. Jesus' miracles serve the purpose of moving his message forward. And that message was simply this, that the love of God was greater than something that could be contained in Israel. And that the love of God was designed for the salvation of the whole world to be lived out through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had in their mind what the perfect Messiah was going to be. And Jesus didn't tick any of the boxes. He was not what they thought he should have been. And they very much wanted to sort of fence him back into that box. But he refused to be. He went off on his own. He went and did his ministry outside of his hometown with all of his expectations. And he did it in order that all who might believe in him, and I mean all, everybody from every square inch of the planet, the nice, the mean, the pleasant, the unpleasant, the savory, the unsavory, all of the people of this world, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save them from sin and the power of sin, which is death. And this is the message that was so controversial to the people of Nazareth. They expected the Messiah to serve their needs. And instead, Jesus said, the Messiah is here to serve God in heaven, and it is God's goodwill that God the Son would give his life for all of humanity on the cross.